And now we come to the concluding scene, one you all love. And it actually says it all. And I can't help thinking, why didn't Matthew forget chapter 24 and 25 and just give us this story? But that's not a good judgment. In the middle of all this speculation and difficult, I find it difficult in our language, and here we have the complete answer. The complete answer will be on the cross. But here's the complete statement of what it means to recognize the signs of the coming of the Son of Man. This is the last judgment, and it happens right here, right now, every day. Magnificent scene, and so simple, so unesoteric. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, so into the big language again, this is the thing we're all talking about, and all the angels are with him, he will sit on the throne of his glory. Now that's new, that's not in Daniel. In Daniel, the Son of Man comes and the one of great age, God, is the judge. And God confers power on the Son of Man. He receives honour and glory. He is the representative of the poor, downtrodden and broken, in fact persecuted Jews at the time of the book of Daniel. So the Son of Man is the ordinary person who is vindicated by God's love in the judgment. This Son of Man is more than the Son of Man. He is also the judge. He is the one who's going to judge us. Isn't that wonderful? Not your husband or your wife, however loving they are, but Jesus. So there's a break for all of us. And not the parish priest or the curate or the people who write letters to the editor. No, the one who's going to judge us is Jesus. When the Son of Man comes in glory and all the angels are with him, he will sit on the throne of his glory and all the nations will be gathered before him. And don't be looking forward to the end of the world when this happens. This happens every day. And he will separate people from one another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He'll put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. God isn't confused. God can't pretend. God has to judge, that is, declare the way things really are. So how are they really? Here it is. The king, the Son of Man, who's also king, will, and this is on the cross, this is happening because that's where the Son of Man is king. The king will say to those on his right hand, come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Why? For I, says the king, says Jesus, to you today and to you tomorrow and to me tomorrow and at the moment of our death, and in the ultimate judgment, it's all here. I was hungry, and you gave me food. It might have been physical hunger. It might have been emotional hunger. I might have been hungry for someone to talk to. I might have been hungry for someone to give meaning to me in my pain. All the different ways we human beings are hungry. And think of all the wonderful people in your life who've taken time to nourish you. From your babyhood right through till tonight. I was hungry, he said, and you gave me food. I was thirsty. Water, love, meaning, forgiveness, reconciliation, all the things we thirst for. And you gave me something to drink. You didn't completely satisfy my thirst. Nobody can except God, but you did something for me. I was a stranger in that room, in that church, in that presbytery, in that locality. And you welcomed me. You put the barbecue on and said, come in. I was naked, embarrassed, nothing to do, just out of prison, trying to recuperate. Or the only friends I've got are all going to drag me straight back into prison or whatever. I was naked and you clothed me, covered me, gave me respect. I was sick. Sick in the mind, sick in heart, sick in body, sick in psyche. And you took care of me. I was in prison, locked by my own sin, locked in by my own past, locked in by my own bigotry and my own whatever, and you visited me. Well, that's what the king says. And then this is the reply of those who were so beautifully treated by this Son of Man. This is the last judgment, isn't it? They'll say, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry? Don't even recognize you. And gave you food, or thirsty, and gave you something to drink. When was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? When was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you? Most of these people probably never heard of Jesus or Christ or Christianity, or never were taught it properly, probably rejected it years ago because they were taught it in such a bad way they had enough sense to reject it. There's so much false Christianity around, wouldn't you want to reject it? The false Christianity, I mean. So there's people in this world who've given it away a long time ago because it was phony. Thank God they have. Better an empty house than a bad tenant, my mother used to always say. So they don't even recognise Jesus, possibly never heard of him. Born in the Himalayas somewhere, or in Sri Lanka, and have turned out a good cricketer. But they've never heard of Jesus or never thought of following him because they just don't know him. Don't they know him? Wait a minute. The king will answer, truly I tell you, amen, amen, I say to you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are the members of my family, you did it to me. And who are the members of Jesus' family? Those who do the will of my Father. They are my brother and my sister and my mother. Any human being who responds in love to need from the heart is being inspired to do so by God, whatever name they give God. And God is the one who has chosen to come send his Spirit to us through Jesus. It is Jesus drawing, I will draw all people to myself, he said. Some will know it's him and follow him, and that's beautiful. We need that to keep alive the story and the message, and others don't know the name, don't know the face, don't know the theology, but they know the Spirit of Jesus and follow it. Come, blessed of my Father. But there's a choice here for everybody. He will say to those on his left, you that are accursed, depart from me to the eternal fire. There's nothing in Christianity that gives us any grounds for speculating about a second go at this, a reincarnation and a new beginning. Those thoughts are around and they are to be respected there. And when no one's saying we know much about what happens after death with any clarity, no. But there's nothing in Christianity that would encourage that thought. On the contrary, all the images we get are that life is very, very, very important and we're to take it absolutely seriously, and we can put off till tomorrow what we're going to do tomorrow. Let's not put off till the next life what we're not doing in this. Whatever the mystery of all that and our inability to focus on it or know it with clarity, we're to live our life now with full sanctity and aware of its sacredness and take it really seriously and not put off till tomorrow the moment of grace. You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Why? Very simple. I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. Nothing. I was a stranger and you didn't welcome me. Doesn't mean you didn't do it once and you did it another 55 times. You didn't welcome stranger. Actually, I don't know what it means exactly, but it's something to do with some translations say I was a stranger and you never welcomed me. I was naked and you didn't give me clothing. I was sick and in prison and you didn't visit me. So that's the last judgment. It's very simple. Love one another as I have loved you. They also will answer, but Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry? Oh, we would certainly have given you something to eat. Or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and didn't take care of you. And he'll answer, truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. This is the Son of Man who identifies with the poor and the broken. And whenever I'm broken or poor, and whenever you're broken or poor, and I or you, we do not care for you, we're not caring for Christ, because he loves you and loves the poor and the broken and the motherless and the struggling, which is all of us in different levels. And these, that is, those who did not care for or their brother or sister, will go away to eternal punishment. They've destroyed their life here, and death won't change that. They will die stubbornly dead. But the righteous will go away to that life which is beyond time and space, the life that belongs to God. And so Matthew concludes his... I think it's a beautiful conclusion, even though the journey has been difficult. That's what history is all about, summed up in that simple parable there. Do that, and you will live, says Jesus.